So with the talk about the treatment with the diet as a treatment for an underlying biological pathology, and that's what we're seeing that autism really is. Now the second kind of diet that has come on, it's kind of the new kid on the block, the specific carbohydrate diet. Elaine Gottschall is the gal who came up with that. It has been, for a lot of people, a godsend. And this is a, remember we said it's really using the nuts. They said a lot of kids don't have the enzymes to break down carbohydrates. And so then the gluten-free diet was just too high in carbohydrates for them. And she said there's a whole host of issues that get better when you really reduce the carbohydrates. I guess Dr. Atkins would agree with that, wouldn't he? But what we know is that when they have more nuts, more of the protein, that they do better. There's in fact lots of people who are adults and have stomach problems do real well with a specific carbohydrate diet. It's again just one more worth trying. 58% of the kids they find with gut problems lack the enzymes to break down the carbohydrates, so not just the proteins. And this is the other thing they found, excuse me, that excessive carbohydrates we know leads to yeast and fungus overgrowth. And so this is so interesting that we're going to talk about enzymes and how that really helps these children, that acidophilus is a really good digestive enzyme for carbohydrates. And so when they have the yeast and fungus overgrowth, one of the reasons they react like that is they just can't break down the carbohydrate that they're eating. So the specific carbohydrate diet was initially designed to treat IBS, inflammatory bowel disease. And then they found behaviors got better on it. They said, whoa, I wonder if this is a possible change that we could do for the kids who don't react well to the gluten-free, dairy-free diet. The name of the book is Breaking the Vicious Cycle by Elaine Gottschall. There are many different websites that refer to that, one of which is pecanbread.com. Looking more at the specific carbohydrate diet, we see that parents, of course, remember most of these are all grass level, what do we say, ground level kind of interventions by parents. Parents of children with autism discovered that the specific carbohydrate diet and tried the diet, and many reported positive results. The blogs that they have on the internet have just been a godsend for these parents because they find out what worked for other children. So more recently, this specific carbohydrate diet has been proposed as a dietary treatment for autism due to the number of children who have what? Gut problems. And they said, well, if this helps with irritable bowel syndrome, maybe it will help these children who are struggling with the behaviors that come because of a gut problem. So this is the diet that Stan Kurtz found so effective for his son in his recovery. We're going to be talking a lot more later on about Stan Kurtz. He's the parent who has really found a recovery, road of recovery for his son who had full autistic behaviors. And the road that he found, and one of which was for his son, specific carbohydrate diet, for him was the answer. He's the one that has founded the TACA group, T-A-C-A, stands for Talking About Curing Autism. He's the one on his website, and we'll look at that more later, otherwise it would just be stankurtz.com. He has recoveryvideos.com also, and so you can see various stages of recovery that children are in using these various interventions. It's just such a wonderful well of hope for parents. Now we're going to talk about the enzymes. Enzymes for autism, kids with autism and sensory integration disorder. Knowing that the gut-brain connection is just huge. Dr. McCandless spoke about this in her book, Children with Starving Brains. Isn't that a perfect way to really explain what's going on? And she wrote the book because she was a physician and her granddaughter was diagnosed with autism, and she began searching. And so she talks about it in her book, and many, many people do. But if you can't absorb the nutrients, it doesn't matter what you do. These kids are starving, and their brain is starving, and their nervous system is starving. So it's, but they found as many, remember we talked about the genetic component of autism, SI, ADD, ADHD. For genetic reasons, they're missing the enzyme, DPP-IV or DPP-4. And that's the enzyme that breaks down gluten and casein in the gut, causing the opiates to be released and inflammation to increase. So that's why when the parents said, okay, then let's take away the gluten, and they get better. But some parents said, what if we could find an enzyme? And enzyme therapy for these children has been going on, of course, many years. But they had to either try a regular enzyme that covered everything, carbohydrates and fats and proteins, and got some little bit of success, or when they ate a fat, had to give them a fat, a digesting protein enzyme, or a carbohydrate digested enzyme. You see how it continued to be such a little game they had to play with the enzymes because they were so incredibly deficient in them. So many people with neurologically related conditions, we know of a multitude of gastrointestinal problems. Now enzymes, these wonderful little eating critters, can come in and eat debris that is toxic, think toxin. They break down food for absorption, but they eat dead tissue that is causing toxin buildup. Well, isn't that nice to know about? That we have something that we can actually take that will do that. So to break down gluten and casein and soy proteins, many parents used something called Peptazide by Houston Nutraceuticals. The website is HoustonEnzymes.com. This is written about in many books, but one of the, I think, most complete books about it is Enzymes for Autism and Other Neurological Conditions by Karen DeFeliz. And in here she said, just like everything else was discovered along this treatment for autism, many parents were looking for, because they saw undigested food in their child's stools, all, you know, they just knew they weren't digesting anything. They had the reflux, nothing was being broken down. And they began looking for enzymes. They would go to the health food store, they ordered one. They all got some success, but not the major successes and breakthroughs they were looking for. And they just got with various PhDs who were scientists and said, can you make an enzyme for us? And they got closer and closer and closer. And right now, the closest, and you know everything's old news as soon as you say it, but the closest appears to be the one that Dr. Houston came up with. How do we know it's the closest? Again, parent reports. The multitude of parents who said, this really made a difference. This was one of the major differences, such as getting rid of the fungus wood, or when they went on the diet. Those are the major differences. So we're going to explore a little more this the enzymes. So they take the peptazide basically to break down any protein. Because protein, as we know, goes to the amino acids. Amino acids make the neurotransmitters. So that's a very big important part. But then he had one that was more of an all-purpose enzyme, just called Zyme Prime, that breaks down carbohydrates and the other foods. Again, some parents just did peptazides, others did Zyme Prime, others did both. And they found, again, things getting better, good results. Kirkman Labs, www.kirkmanlabs, who has been just a wonderful place to make all sorts of combinations of vitamins for our children who are neurologically and chemically upset. They're one of the first ones who came up with high B6 vitamins. First ones to come up with a Down syndrome formulation, basically. Been around for years. They also have a good enzyme. It's very good. It's just a little lower in the DPP-4. And that's the enzyme piece that they're finding happens to be a real missing key for these kids. Parent comments when they use these enzymes with all meals are, my son is starting to talk. All I started with the enzymes. I mean, this is, you know, as we go through the road, we see some things are helpful. This is huge. Enzymes are just huge. So these are the kinds of things parents said. My daughter, sleeping through the night. Now they tried all sorts of other things and now they did the enzymes. Or my son, stopped his compulsive behaviors and his stimming. All they changed was the enzymes. That's why it's so important. You only do one thing at a time, isn't it? Otherwise, what, you know, what's doing what? My son's therapist said, my little boy had his best week ever. Just with enzymes. Now, doesn't that make sense? They're not getting the nutrients. So how can we get the nutrients to break down? This is one way to do that. AutismCoach.com is one website that you can look at where the parents coach each other on what they did with the enzymes, what worked, what didn't work, what they saw. They just really help each other out so much. Let's look at some more things about enzymes. This is a question that one of the moms here in the class asked last night. And this is a question all parents would naturally have. Can parents ever reintroduce gluten and casein foods into their child's diet? Let's say that you had a really good response. And boy, you're very willing to continue that. But you're always, first of all, having to keep infractions in mind because they come up, cross-contamination. Maybe it doesn't have gluten in, but it was prepared on machines with gluten and your child reacts. So people were just plain looking for that. Well, some parents gave the enzymes, they, you know, just a whole group of them, what they did, some parents gave the enzymes along with the gluten and casein, and others gave the enzymes with only occasional use of casein, gluten and casein, and others gave the enzymes while keeping a strict gluten-free, casein-free diet. So we got lots of reports from everybody, and this is what they all decided. Many parents reported benefits when adding enzymes to a diet that remained limited in gluten and casein. In other words, they were saying, okay, infractions, we're going to see to it that the infractions don't send us down for a three-day trip of stimming or a three-day trip of having trouble. So they used it for that. And this is what they noticed. Pretty soon, infractions would happen and they saw nothing. And you know what? What do we do? A few more infractions occurred because it's just natural, because it's a big deal. These diets are a really big deal. Not as big a deal as a child suffering, but big deal nonetheless. Other parents reported, my son has improved significantly since starting enzymes and going back to all foods. So, is it possible? Absolutely. That's what these parents are saying. It's possible. Is it going to be the case for all children? Probably not. Again, they're so individual, and you wouldn't know how your child's going to react. So, of course, what did they do? Baby steps, didn't they? Just little baby steps because they didn't want to go backwards. But this is, I think, some of the nicest breakthroughs we've seen. We're going to look later on at pyroluria. We're going to look at cobalamin. We're going to look at methylation as all being issues that are going on with these children. But some things just shout out, and enzymes is one of them. And so lots of people, even adults, would do well with enzymes. I think it would cut back on our need for Prevacid, Prilosec, Zantac, all of that, if we could get enzymes to break down our food. The enzymes they found with the highest level of DPP-4 appear to be to actually heal the child's gut, possibly making it more able to handle foods. They saw all sorts of symptoms of healed guts, you know, formed stools and not stomach aches and not acid reflux and not avoiding so many foods. Kids were so limited in their food choices, expanded their food choices by using the enzymes. So when we were talking about your son who needs all the different shakes and such, I would definitely put enzymes in there. And that's how I believe that we're going to, one of the ways, first we do the antifungal, and I add some oils and all of that, but I would definitely think about doing some enzymes in there and help him break down what he's taking first. So what do we know? And these are just some real, real interesting studies. And you know, moms don't lie. They don't need a blood test for what she sees. Some mothers report immense improvements in their child with the enzymes that they did not see with the diet alone. this is something really interesting because we know that when they do gluten-free, they very frequently see changes. A real 91% of the families see nice improvements. And some of the moms said, but when I did this, the diet, I saw nice improvements. But when I did the enzymes, I saw huge improvements. Certainly worth a try. First, do no harm other than to your pocketbook, right? So at first they found, of course, it helped with infractions. The child could go to a birthday party and they thought, I'm not going to send an apple, or I'm not going to send a substitute cake. I'm just going to say, oh, well, we'll live with the results. We'll just stim for a couple of days. And he said, oh, didn't see the stimming, didn't see the behavior issues. Then what they thought, they found it helped with no kind of gluten or dairy restriction. Now remember, that's not 100%. We're not talking everybody. It just says maybe it's a road you can carefully look at. If you have a child who's responding well to gluten-free, dairy-free, start with just the infractions. All children are different, of course. Some children do fine. This is what they often said. They'll do fine for a few months and then they'll regress with this method. In 3 months is considered, if they make it past 3 months, it pretty much means they've passed the regression time. Or when they say they're going to crash, they're going to crash. And so for some kids, they did, and they needed to cut back again on the gluten dairy. Others, they said they made it into the fourth month and the fifth month, and they were sailing fine, and they just continued doing it. So method of trial, of course, is required to fine-tune this for each child. The last piece we're going to look at right now, enzymestory.com, by the way, is a specific story about a mom and her road to trying enzymes very carefully at first with great trepidation off the diet. For her, it totally worked that they didn't have to do the dietary restrictions for gluten and dairy. They're not going to go back to sugars. They're not going to go back to colorings. They now, of course, know those toxic loads. They're not going to go that far, but they could live with a pretty regular diet. For her, it was successful. It's always just worth a try. So the book that we talked about that has a lot of this in it would be Enzymes for Autism and Other Neurological Conditions by Karen DeFelice. EnzymeStuff.com is her website. Lots of good information are out there for our parents. Our children, and you know, we even talked about with D, with your Asperger's, wonderful Asperger's children in middle school who are just doing the pacing or are just aloof. It just doesn't have to be that way anymore. So once we can get the parents to have this kind of knowledge, wouldn't it just be wonderful? They scoop in and do a little bit of that and see a difference. A little bit of antifungal, a little bit of the enzymes, and you'd be able to watch and see. So I'm eager for you to maybe talk to some of the parents, give them some of the websites, let them explore and see, because these children are suffering and it doesn't have to be if we can make a difference. What do we know about the enzymes in SI? Many parents feel that the proper use of enzymes brings a real healing versus just treating the symptoms. At first, when we were taking away the offending organisms, our foods, we were happy to treat the symptoms because the symptoms are a big deal. But they're seeing signs of healing. What would be signs of healing? Suddenly you can handle the food and your body doesn't go, oh my, big inflammation. They found that most enzymes, and this is an interesting thing because this is what lots of people have found, most enzymes that are readily available in stores didn't have any effect. It wasn't strong enough. It wasn't specific enough. They had to get very specific, very powerful enzymes. And, you know, people said when they ran out, they would try the store brand. It'd be always a good thing to do because then you know. The enzymes did not allow their children with, no enzymes, by the way. Not even the best enzymes we have out so far, what they're finding, won't allow a child with celiac, of course, to go back. That's just a condition that their body apparently needs more than enzymes to heal from. But most of our children don't have a true celiac. They just have the irritation, the intolerance, or the true allergy to that. So they found that 50% of the children who took these special enzymes responded favorably quickly, even at the end of the first week. 80% of the kids who took these enzymes, the peptide, which is for the protein, and the primezyme, which is for the carbohydrates at each meal, they responded by the end of the second week. Most everyone could tell if taking these enzymes will help or not by the end of the fourth week. It's pretty much sort of right now the consensus of the parents. Then we have something for the enzyme administration. How do you give it? Well, for kids, if it comes in capsule form, if they're going to swallow a capsule, and many kids are just as soon get it over with that way, you need to take it 20 or 30 minutes before eating. And so, but you can open up the capsules, and many parents do, and they just sprinkle it on the food. And then, not they have to be cold food, because hot food, of course, you know, would kill it. But this is, mothers are so inventive. It can be pre-mixed in juice. They just take like baby apple juice or baby pear juice jars, and they pre-mix the enzyme in there. You have to keep it cold. So they put a little ice pack around it. It'll last for 4 hours. So those children can take a sip of their juice while they're eating. They don't get it 20 minutes before, but it still does a good job. And this is what many of the parents found. Because enzymes, we know, break down the food that we're eating, but in between meals, they break down the debris, the toxins that have been building up. So many of the moms tried this themselves. This mom tried it for her migraines, remember, to get rid of her migraines. And she took the enzyme, she put it into a drink, kept the drink, of course, in the refrigerator, and she drank it all day. She sipped it through a straw, because if you have debris inside your mouth, like let's say you chewed the side of your mouth and you have a little, you know, little piece of scar tissue there, what will the enzymes do? Okay, it's a debris, I'm taking care of that. So it just buzzes a little bit. But so you just take it through a straw. And so, but because it's very good, enzymes will do a job. They're our little Pac-Mans. They're in there cleaning up junk. And that's exactly what these kids need. Frankly, I think what probably most of us need. Now, then my favorite, enzyme chocolate wafers. I never think of these kinds of things. When I tell my parents, we try to find ways to put things in, and I just kind of let them on their own. This is just so wonderful that she does this. Enzyme chocolate wafers, we talked about this, so you can melt chocolate chips. Because remember, we're not doing no sugar. We're doing some sugar. Remember, if we can get a vitamin in sugar, we'll do sugar. So that's the sugar they get is because we're smuggling. So they melt chocolate chips. When it's cool, she dumps the contents of one capsule into a small amount of chocolate. They mix it, transfers it to wax paper, and she freezes it. They eat one at the beginning of the snack or meal. Pretty easy, isn't it? You think the kids would fight back? Not very much. In fact, she has many other ideas like that in her book, and many of these websites have that too. But I thought that it was just terrific. I really like that. The last thing we're going to look at on enzymes right now is what they finally decided. The parents called it the happy child effect. All they knew is they said, okay, this and this and this, but what was a common thread they all had is they're just happier. They're just happier. What? Probably their head doesn't hurt, their stomach doesn't hurt, they're not inflamed. The overall positive disposition of a child with regular enzyme therapy consistently reported by parents. 75% said they had greater eye contact. In fact, they said they were like bright-eyed. Well, why? Their brain's getting fed, right? The nervous system is getting fed. All the good things are giving it. 75% said on enzymes that they had increased language. 75% said improved sleep. They did surveys, as you can imagine. Over 75% greatly expanded their diet. And some kids have to go through very rigorous feeding programs to try to expand the diet. Sometimes it's successful, sometimes not. Good thing to try either with it or without. 75% saw marked improvement in transitioning ability. Would that make school easier or what? Because it's changing classes that are so hard for them. And 75% or most of them said, what they went by is parents, most of the parents said that they counted it as 75% decreased anxiety. Because why? They're using more magnesium. They're making more neurotransmitters because the food is doing the conversion process that they're expecting it to do. So that is something, as a teacher or educator, wouldn't that be so helpful to have that piece of information, a list of websites, and tell parents, why don't you look at this? Why don't you check that out? Ask your doctor about this. Check on that website. Because any one of these will make a nice change. I like to do it in an order, but enzymes could be done right away, couldn't they? Acidophilus is mainly an enzyme that puts that good bacteria in. It helps to make the vitamin K and the bacteria, the B vitamins that we need. So it's 7:30, we'll break for the night. About enzymes and the importance of enzymes and the happy child effect. Enzymes are just marvelous as a tool to break down body, dead tissue in the body. We have a lot of dead tissue in the body. It's one of the things that these kids get so high in toxins. What if when we gave them vaccinations, we gave them enzymes with the vaccinations? Then, if they weren't able to get rid of the debris that brings along, what if we would be able to break that down for them? Remember, we've talked about the happy child effect. When they said 75%, the moms that did this survey said how they defined 75% was they had most. When people said most, or some, or few, most appeared to be 75%. Most of the children whose parents added enzymes to their diet, to their meals, found that they had greater eye contact. This is just a part of the list. The list is longer, but you know, we can't put them all on slides. Increased language. You heard some of the quotes mom said. They're speaking for the first time. I've had many say they're potty trained for the first time. They're sleeping through the night for the first time. All of those kinds of things they see. Why? Because they're finally, their brain is being fed what it needs. We talked about moms who used enzymes with each meal while they took away gluten and dairy, the things that they were allergic to, and they saw nice changes. Then they used it just for infractions. And when the kids had infractions, they didn't. When they went to a birthday party, they just didn't fall apart because the enzymes seemed to hold. As they went on, that some parents, not all, but some parents found that they could do more and more of the offending food along with the enzymes, and they found that it made a terrific difference. And in fact, they could, after a while, not do the food at all, not do the food restriction at all. Well, we don't know if that's for everybody. How would you know? You would try that and see. Nobody is the same. One mom decided to take the enzymes and put them in a juice for all day, and she sipped it all day. Many people do enzymes between meals to clean up the debris that's there. And that helped her with her migraines and headaches, which again are just a toxin overload. What they have found, the reason I am now more interested in enzymes and we're now seeing changes versus before. Before I was getting enzymes at the health food store or from some awesome, some good pharmaceutical companies, good enzymes, and we didn't see enough change to warrant adding something else to that child's diet. One more thing to try to smuggle in or give to them. It just wasn't a big report, not like with the antifungal program, acidophilus and grapefruit seed extract. We just hear reports all the time. Not with adding essential fatty acids. We hear reports all the time for those kinds of things. Our 5-HTP or L-orotate, all those things are all given to children by the reports that we hear from parents. But enzymes weren't there. And now, Dr. Houston has developed one. Kirkman Lab, prior to that, had developed one that was high in the PPV, IV, you know, what they are missing, that enzyme. They did one, and we were getting better success with that, but still not right home about it, until Dr. Houston came up with one. And so the one that the parents are having the best success right now, this isn't a commercial, because of course it'll be, you know, next week someone else will have developed a better one. But right now the one that seems to be working is the one from HoustonNutraceuticals.com, and you have that in your book. So he has something right now that they're finding better success with, Protozyme, for the protein breakdown, and Primezyme to break down the carbohydrates for the kids that would do better on the specific carbohydrate diet. So a question that I had here in the audience, and does that maybe answer your question, is could your daughter have pizza again? because she has a 16-year-old daughter who has lots of headaches, and she was, what a good searching mom. She said headaches, they did MRIs, they did all sorts of things, and she found out that she was allergic to gluten, dairy, and soy. And did you find that out through stool and kinesiology, both?
Stool and acupuncture,
right, which we use the, usually the muscle testing.
Oh.
Yeah. So anyway, she found that out, and taking her off of those three offending foods, headaches were decreased by what?
Gone.
100%. So the connections, aren't they amazing? The neurological connections and food and chemistry. She's saying that's great, but she'd like to maybe have a pizza once in a while. Can she? I would try this enzyme protocol for sure in a second. And there's, first of all, not a downside again, remember, other than to your pocketbook. But if you can do that, I'm real excited about the fact that they have developed enzymes. So many things as we're going to look at today, the high B6, the B12, the pyroluria, all of those things they have developed individually. People have developed and gotten better and better and better at it. So now we have a protocol that works on that. Prior to a while ago, we didn't have a really well-developed enzyme. So we had good ones, we saw some things, they were doing many individual ones, depending on what they ate. Okay, then they'd give them this and that, you know, sort of like how much insulin to give kind of thing. And so now they're able to get it together for the enzymes, and I'm sure there'll be more research, but I would encourage that. Well, now let's look at what could be another source of enzymes. These moms who had the most success with being able to give less and less enzymes, at first they gave it very faithfully, three times, every time they ate, wouldn't you? Ate or had a snack? If you found that suddenly you could widen their diet, oh, make your life a lot more normal. And then they found if they missed an enzyme, like for lunch, you didn't send it, and the child was okay. You say, well, then later on, they'd be out for dinner someplace, and they forgot the enzyme, and the child was okay. They didn't have the big breakdowns and the things that they usually see, the behaviors. And so they discovered that really the enzymes heal. Because if they didn't heal, you see, you couldn't take them away and this child would still be all right. So it's a wonderful thing to know about this. And as in fact, there's a whole, you know, conferences, as you know, on anti-aging. Not that any of us are interested in it. But they find enzymes are a big part of it because it's all about debris. Debris in the body, toxins in the body, are basically the basis of all free radical damage, all cancer, all heart disease, all of those types of things. We know that. So let's look at how else we can get enzymes in our system. What would be the natural way in foods? And that is in raw foods. Raw foods, raw carrot, raw celery, raw nuts, contain within them the enzymes that not only need to break down that food, and they have that, but some of the food that's still in the digestive system and in the colon. If you eat cooked food, when, in fact, there are books called, written by two teenagers who decided they weren't ever going to be sick, and they wrote Eating Without Heating. And so they have all these incredible, wonderful dishes that they have made, all from raw. And so what they said is when you heat it, it of course destroys the enzymes in there. Enzymes aren't live, are live, so there's nothing live in there. Well then when we eat cooked food, which of course most of us do, right? As we eat cooked food, then our own pancreatic enzymes and other parts of the body that create the enzymes have to produce the enzymes to break that food down. So it's every time we eat, it's a little bit of a stressor on the body in terms of enzymes, if we think in that manner. So wouldn't it make sense, they said, well, for longevity and for health, the less you use of your own enzymes. They said, some people even said we have a finite amount of enzymes in our body. How we age determines how fast we use that up. I can't imagine that to be so, because we have our little guys, our little kids on the spectrum with sensory integration and all those kinds of things, you know, they didn't get their whole bucket, did they, of enzymes. So clearly it has to be the immune system and all of the things are affecting that. But raw food is live food. Live food will heal you. And we're going to look at lots more even testimonies about raw food, what we see. When food is cooked, enzymes are destroyed. Enzyme-rich foods eat the harmful debris that's often in our body. And we know that, as they say, cancer, all those things really feed on debris. And so, yes, we attack the cancer cells through other things, but what if we just limit its food? The body, this is an interesting statement, and it's so true. The body's a self-cleaning oven. It's a self-cleaning machine. It cleans itself with enzymes from raw food, like a cat licks its paws, licks its way. You know, wasn't it wonderful when self-cleaning ovens came out? I mean, I knew the time before self-cleaning ovens, when we had to put all that noxious smelling liquid in there, paste, and let it sit. It did do a wonderful job, but what was it? Enzymes. When they want to get blood off the road after an accident, what do they use? They use enzyme-containing kinds of liquids. Enzymes eat up debris. And so I just don't think that God would have us make self-cleaning ovens and not have self-cleaning bodies. You know, I just don't think he would miss that. So we truly, in many ways, have self-cleaning bodies, but it's always whosoever will. It takes a lot of discipline, doesn't it? And that's with human nature in everything. Doesn't exercise take discipline? Thinking right thoughts takes good discipline. Saying the right things takes discipline. Eating the foods that your body does best with takes discipline. It just boils down to that. And that's always a tricky thing. I think that's why Jesus called his followers disciples. It comes from the word discipline. That's a hard word, isn't it? So we're all fighting that same battle of knowing the right thing and working on it, but then maybe we can motivate you a little more. The easiest way, the easiest way to improve health immediately is by increasing your raw food. Oops, did we lose that? You know what happened here, sorry. This disconnected suddenly. Do you want to just turn it off for a second, Ron? We don't want all our mistakes on food. So if you're sick, or you're getting over something, or you had a flu, and you don't know how, you know, you're just dragging with it, increase your raw food. And the enzymes in the raw food will begin to clean out the virus that's left over, the flu that's left over, all of that. So it really is, it's just a real fast way that you can help kids. In fact, Stan Kurtz has, in his recovery videos with his son, he has a picture of him. You know how we have those smiley faces with the mustache of milk, the milk mustache? Well, he has the mustache of green, because they very much believe in green drinks and green foods. Do you want to just turn that off 1 second, Ron? I'm going to touch it. So we know that enzymes clean and restore the body. So what Stan Kurtz does and what many of these parents do is that they will give them green drinks. And we're going to talk about how we can make green drinks mainly work. But first of all, couldn't you just start with carrots and celery, and after a while maybe some raw broccoli, and maybe some raw cut up, you know, green pepper, and apples, and introduce them to every kind of fruit that you can imagine. Just keep widening their diet. Raw foods are so important. Now, there are many reports of juvenile diabetes being reversed, asthma being reversed, heart disease, arthritis. The book, The Raw Family by Victoria Butenko, is just a fascinating book. In fact, you can go to rawfamily.com. In her story, she talks about the fact that they were a Russian family. They came over here to the United States. They had several businesses going. They were making a lot of money. And she had a nanny, and the kids were going to school with the nanny and all of that. And she was just saying, basically, in many ways, they had the good life. Except that she began developing heart disease and then depression. And her daughter needed inhalers all the time. Her asthma was, she had a brittle asthma. And her husband had arthritis to the degree that he had the nodules on his hands, ripping knots. His hands were not fully functioning or painful at best. And then what really finally changed her son, Sergei, at age eight, was diagnosed with juvenile onset diabetes. And she said, what are we doing wrong? And so interestingly enough, she went around in her story, she tells how she just talked to everybody and asked everybody who looked healthy. She'd be standing in line at a bank, standing in line elsewhere in the grocery store, someone who looked really healthy. And she'd say, what do you do? What do you do to stay healthy? And took notes and learned. Till one time she was at her bank, and a gal was standing in front of her who was just remarkably healthy looking and glowing. And she said, what do you do to stay healthy? And she said, I'll tell you. And the Victoria said, I'll take you to lunch and you tell me what you do. And the gal said, I'll be happy to tell you, but I won't eat your lunch. And she said, why? She said, because I found that cooked food doesn't keep me healthy. So these people did all raw. Now we're not saying you need to do all raw, but remember, if we see what all raw does, then we will know what some raw does. And so anyway, this is her husband, Igor, talks about it, and he said that he came home to the biggest shock of his life, because this wasn't a little halfway gal. She found the answer, she decided, and over the stove was a big cutting board. And that was it. There was no, everything was taken off, it was heating, toaster gone, every coffee pot gone. I mean, the kitchen, he said, looked like a different kitchen. And he thought he was going to starve. And so at first he ate cooked food and she just made the raw for herself and the family. And at first they thought they were going to starve. But of course, the more food you absorb, the less food you need. And in fact, Sergei was, later on, when he was like 16, 17, he was a great snowboarder. He loved to snowboard. And all he and his friends would get on the bus and they'd go snowboarding. And they'd bring their hot chocolate and their sandwiches and their granola bars and all that. And he brought an orange. He ate an orange in the morning on the way in the bus, and he ate an orange on the way back. He said, aren't you starving? No, because by that time he was absorbing so much that he only needed a little bit. And that's what they all found. Their food bill, of course, went incredibly down because they didn't need as much food because they were absorbing more. So anyway, as she was doing this, her heart disease reversed, and her daughter then needed no asthma medication at all, and then could start running again. Otherwise in school, she always had to sit out for gym, could run, join the track team, all of that. But the biggest change was her son never had to go on insulin. They got his blood sugar all under control. Then her husband, Igor, said, all right, okay, maybe I'll try this too, because remember, his hands were like that. And it was so amazing to watch, they said. And you'll see in pictures there, you would never know that was the case. And he said, but he has medical reports to show that all the knots went down. The debris was cleared up. So they have their rawfamily.com. They have all sorts of different recipes, but really just testimonies from a lot of people who say, if you're really sick, eating raw will really, really help you with getting well. And Wigmore, I don't know if you know of her, from the Wigmore Foundation. It's just wigmorefoundation.com. Wigmore. She traveled all around the country to tell people about this. At age 55, she had been diagnosed with cancer. And I think it was I think it was a breast cancer and then had metastasized. And so she was really in bad shape and had all the different chemo and radiation and still was not doing all that well. And she read about doing raw. And she's really one of the first people to bring this about so that we know about it a lot. And she ate all raw, and she lived to be, I think, 82 or 83, and she died in a fire. But, so we don't know, how long that would go. And she was traveling all around the country. She found the more longer she ate all raw, so no one is, as you say, we're not proposing all raw, but if you can see what it can do, as she was eating all raw, she got better and better and better, so that she worked, and she had her foundation, and in that same building on the fifth floor was her apartment. She was 80 years old. She ran up and down the five stairs all during the day, She made her own sprouts, all because it was raw. And they have a picture of there, the students, and she had classes, were amazed. She had gray hair. But after a while, by the time she was 16, 70, it turned brown again. This is interesting. Sergi talks about this, Sergi Botenko, the young man who had the juvenile diabetes. He said after a while, his filling stuff started popping out of his teeth, and he told his mother, he said, "This diet is ruining my teeth, Mom." And she said, "Well, let's just wait and see." True, they did. The fillings popped out. He had four of them. But after a while, pretty soon enamel filled in. So I just wanted to show you the self-cleaning oven kind of thing. Many people have reported tonsils growing back, gallbladders growing back. You know, we only thought lizards could do that, didn't we? Lizards can grow tails. What is the deal with the body? The things we didn't know. Things we didn't know about it. There is, and I didn't bring it, and I'm sorry, I should have grabbed it. Malcolm, I believe is his name, maybe I have it here. He wrote The Hallelujah Diet. You have heard about it or read about it. He had colon cancer. And we know that's aggressive once it is diagnosed. You know, you've had it a long time. And so he decided he would go on all raw diet. He even did some juicing, carrot juice. Kids love carrot juice. Carrot juice is very sweet, tastes really good. So he went on carrot juice and raw foods, and this 17 years later, he's still well and has no recurrence. So these are just, it's just a different way of thinking, isn't it? That raw food is our friend. Cooked food is fine, but it doesn't clean the body. So if you can do a combination, but the sicker you are, the more raw food you need. And so with our SI, Asperger's, autism children, we know they're sick. And so one of the things that we know that works, it's not a supplement they should smuggle in anything. It's not something you have to send for, not something that's expensive. It's right in your grocery store, and that is raw food. So the importance of helping your children eat more raw food, and for these children, it's just huge. Kids like things that you're eating. If you're eating it, they like it. So if you, the more you can do that, the better it will be. Sorry, here I have his reference. George Malthus is The Hallelujah Diet, healed of advanced colon cancer for 17 years by eating mostly raw. And I think maybe he was all raw. So if you just even look at websites, rawfamily.com, or go get some books, or just even begin to change the diet, that's what the parents of children that have what I call treated SI, treated autism, treated Asperger's. What does that look like? The parents have to tell you that's what the diagnosis was. It's not something that's readily observable, is what I have seen. Many people find that drinking a quart of green drink a day, and they regain their health. So Victoria went on, and she wrote a book called Green for Life. And this is, just a fascinating book. She was worked with a doctor, and they did a study. And they thought that just eating a green drink, just drinking a green drink a day, would bring all these live enzymes. And it's just marvelously easy to make, inexpensive. You just puree, you put in your blender that you can get from Target. It doesn't have to be, you know, a $300 blender. Just your $30 blender will work. And you put in, let's say, you decide you're going to make a green drink for the child, put in two pears. And maybe a sprig of parsley, you know, half of one of those sprigs, or pears, and four or five stalks of celery. And when you give it to them, it's going to be green, but it tastes like pear juice. If you put apples in, it tastes like apple juice. You put bananas in, it tastes like that. It looks green, but the taste of the fruit is what takes over. And we call it Kermit's drink. And many of these kids take that, and the parents who have taken that step find that was before the only way we could get the enzymes in them, and saw those healing powers there and saw the changes in their children's behavior. Now if we can also add some enzymes that are helpful, you see how you can more and more help these kids to not have starving brains and starving nervous systems. So this is in the book Green Drink. This is her experiment again. You know, she thinks out of the box. and she worked with a doctor, and they decided that as they gave classes, that they could make a change in people's health, even if they made no other change in their diet than including a raw drink of vegetables and fruit every day. So they were giving a talk, and they asked a group of people if they would come join in their experiment. For 1 month, would they drink a quart, so we just get those mason quart jars, a quart of a green drink a day, and they don't have to change anything else in their diet, and would they report the changes? And so they were basically your McDonald's group of people, but they were coming to her talk on health, so they must have been, some of them were further down the road. So she had several signed up, and finally she came down to about 24 or 27, I think, were in her study. And her husband and her son, they would make the green drinks for 2 days for these guys, and this town was 120 miles away, and every 2 days they would make the trip, supply them with all the different green drinks for 2 days, and then every 2 days they did that for a month. Quite an experiment, quite a venture on their part. So they paid for all the ingredients, and they drove to them, and they listened for the reports. And you'll read about it in the Greens for Life. But people said they couldn't believe how much more energy they had. And Wigmore, by the way, after a while, only needed 2 hours of sleep a night because she could write and travel and everything else, because she was just healthier. She didn't have all the debris in her body. Now, nobody on the green drink said that. One gal said that she needed B12 shots all the time because she had pernicious anemia. And she said with the green drink, she didn't need that anymore. Why? Because greens and enzymes provide hydrochloric acid. So finally, she could use the B12 from the foods that she was eating. Many people said asthma cleared up. Many said depression cleared up. Probably the biggest changes were neurological. They said, I wake up happier, I wake up refreshed in the morning, my mood is so much better, I feel so much better, all the way through just by adding. Not even so many big changes, just by adding a green drink. And so you can experiment, play with it. They have a lot of recipes in the book, Green for Life. I'm not necessarily a recipe follower, because that would be like following directions, you know? So I just found that they said, okay, they have the name of this one, the name of that one, and how many ingredients. So for you left brainers who like that, that's all done for you. And they are delicious. But I said, okay, what's the bottom line? It's a green and a fruit. And so that's kind of how I make mine up. So what you can do, whichever way, what if you need it, what if your child says, at first you're getting them used to it, the fruit isn't sweet enough, what if you would add a little honey? Remember, honey, raw honey, has the minerals in it that feed the body. It still will overgrow yeast, won't it? So we use it judiciously. But it is a good addition. So this is, I think, again, just one of those wonderful breakthroughs. And the parents who have seen the true healing, in not only just dropping of symptoms, but a true healing, go into this. They have much more. Finally, they do almost all homemade food. Many of them do organic. And they have a lot of raw vegetables, and they do their green drinks. In fact, I had an experiment one time. You know, when kids come to my house for a consultation, they never know when they're going to be part of an experiment. And so I will make a red drink. The red drink, you add a few beets to it. Oh, it's a beautiful color. Beets are a wonderful color, but you can only add a little at a time, because beets clean out the liver, do a wonderful job of liver cleansing, which, of course, is where the whole etiology of all of this is from. The liver and adrenal glands aren't doing their job, which is the immune system. So, and if you put, sometimes if you put it in a sippy cup that they can't see the color, helps. Because kids often think if it's green, it's bad, don't they? Oh, green, oh my gosh. That's like when we tell people, you can substantially improve your health by having liver and onions once a week. Because liver is incredibly loaded with B12 and iron. And they look at you, they just screw up their face. You say, well, you know, you can take capsules too. There's several ways. Do you have a question?
On this raw diet, how do you get your protein?
On the raw diet, they get their protein from nuts. In fact, the Lar bars, if you see them, have them. They're nuts and dates. Actually, quite delicious. When we think raw, we think all salads. Oh my, you should read these books. They're so far beyond salads. and yep, nuts and dates. And at first a raw nut seems like, oh my goodness, we're missing something here. But it has all the insights in it. Just experiment, do some reading, but the more raw you can include, the healthier you'll find your kids can.
Yes.
Along the raw diet, like, pesticides, is that an issue, like organic versus non-organic?
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Pesticides being an issue on raw diet?
Is pesticides the issue in a raw diet? Most of these people go to Wild Oats or Vitamin Cottage and just pick up their carrots and you can get, of course, you can get organic carrots at Safeway, at, you know, King Supers, that type of thing. Now, you get, many of the grocery stores have organic sections. If you, anything you can do without pesticides is a big plus. It's just like adding, you know, yellow dye number 5. I mean, the body has to detoxify it. It's just a given. You cannot use it. The liver has to find a way to get rid of it. So when we're thinking of taking loads off, you know, any load you can take off is a plus.
Could you add the probiotic to your green drink?
The question is, could you add a probiotic to the green drink? I sure would, except I wouldn't add it to the whole blender or the whole cup, because when do kids finish a whole cup? The important thing about the probiotic or the acidophilus is to add it to a malt that they can eat. But as you play with it, you can find very tasty ones. And what if you make it a science experiment? Or what if you tell it it's a Kermit drink? Many of these parents, as they say, so instead of a white mustache, because for them, that's arsenic, isn't it? Not for everybody, milk isn't arsenic for everybody, but for this group it is. They have a green mustache and they proudly show it. Why? Because mom's taking a green drink, dad's taking a green drink. Well, what do they want to do? Take a green drink. Modeling is everything for them. So, but yes, we're not talking totally raw. They don't do that with these children. They don't do totally raw. But for an adult, would you? Yes. That would be something that if I had a serious diagnosis, I certainly would go that way, because I would want to do everything I could to feel better fast. But just something to explore. But that is one of the things that kids, that parents are finding very successful, the parents that are doing that. One time, and this doesn't happen many times, when people aren't aware of the association between food and supplements, and health for their children, or that their children with SI or Asperger's or autism are really sick kids physically, then when I would say something like, you know, have you thought about nutritional interventions? I would say, I'm talking to a parent on a phone, so I don't have a relationship with them, and so I'm just talking about that. And they'll say, oh yes, but you know what, it's at Christmas time and such, I like to bake, it's just too hard to do gluten-free or dairy-free. They say, yes, you're right, it is hard. Said, here's just a thought. Said, how many times when you see that your child is sick, as moms, haven't we said, I would do anything to take that sickness from them? I would take it on myself so they didn't have it. Isn't that what we say? Wouldn't you have with your with your daughter's headache? Would nothing would take care of it, I'm sure.
Gluten-free cookies.
Pardon me?
We made gluten-free Christmas cookies.
Exactly, yes. And she said, you would have said, I'll take that. I know we've all been in that position. And yet, now we have a chance to do it. Because the onus for eating this way is on you. It's your work, not the child's. The child just eats good food. Like she said, they make gluten-free Christmas cookies. I mean, it's all very, very available. And yet, we think it's too hard, but we say, I'd take it off my child. You see, it's just a way of thinking. We just help people go a few more steps and say, we really would be willing to take it. This is it, because it's not hard for the child to shop differently, not hard for the child to cook differently. It's hard on you, and that is true. But the reward, again, is something that we look at. So that's, I think, green drinks and raw foods are just a real exciting way to go. Whether your child has absolutely no diagnosis and is just great, all these kinds of raw foods will keep them healthier, clarity of thought. And that's one of the things he said, I could remember things better. I had such clear thinking. Or the teachers will say, oh, your child was just so attentive this week, just by not putting in toxins. Now, that's a new way for us to think, isn't it? We know obvious toxins because we know pesticides, BHT, we know colorings, we know toxins, But that's a new thought, that if we cook that, it creates a toxin more mildly for the body to have to deal with. Isn't that new think? But that's apparently the way the body reacts. Not a bad toxin, but can't clean up. It can't clean up because he has to take care of the food. So, and if anyone has constipation, of course, that would take care of it. Stan Kurtz, again, is a parent advocate of this because most other talks in conferences are being led by physicians and health professionals, and he just, as a parent, came in and said, these are the things that I have changed. Frankly, he's made some of the biggest changes with his child. Why? He didn't have any paradigm that he had to move out of. He didn't have any preset ideas. He just did it all, and he was very aggressive, and he's just a delightful fellow to watch. But Stan Kurtz, in his documentation of the recovery of his son with autism, talks of using green drinks and raw foods as part of their program. He used them extensively. Recoveryvideos.com, if you just want to see before after videos of his son and other people's sons. What he has done, and it's just so helpful, is he does surveys all the time. Parents always sending in information, like Bernard Rimlin used to do when he was alive, when he started. Basically, what has worked for you? So again, this is results-oriented information. We are all looking for the science behind it, and there is science behind the majority of it. And the science will eventually catch up. We just know what works. What would have been the science behind her daughter's headaches, severe headaches, being cured using soy-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free? Can't find the science yet for that, but will, because it works. So if you just look at the results. So attempt to add as many raw foods as possible to a child's diet every day. Be creative. And I'd love it if you would email me, craft@eastcentral.com. I will write that down here. I would just love to hear all the different ways that you have found so that I can pass those on to more parents. craft@eastcentral.com. So if you can, then we'll just let each other know. And if you put your email down there on the registration notebook, then you know we'll just pass that along. And we could have our own little group here of experiments and find out. It would be nice to know how you make green drinks or how you get raw food in. But would also be nice is if you find out what results you're seeing. Medication can be reduced many times when you have increased enzymes. Now we've talked about gastrointestinal system. Now we're going to talk about the other thought that we have for the etiology of autism, and that's chronic infection. So many people believe that autism is also a manifestation of a chronic infection that this child has in their body. Either they're carrying a virus a lot longer than they should have. In fact, remember they said they found the measles virus in the blood of these children? So, and they hadn't had the measles. Where did they get it from? Likely it had to be the NMR. So in other words, their body didn't know how to detoxify because it wasn't in a state that could detoxify the fallout from a vaccination of measles. So kept a hold of it. They found many, many viruses in these children that they've never had, as far as they know, and that came from, had to have come from the vaccinations. They find all sorts of things that there are lots of fungal. We talked a lot about the fungus. Fungus, in my opinion, is number one. That's what Stan Kurtz found too, and the others, that fungus is all number one. When we're going to look at how they're going to get rid of viruses and they get rid of the bacteria in these children, they found if they don't institute an antifungal therapy, it wants to fall apart. And because the fungus is, if that'll get in the way of detoxifying. Bacterial, many of these kids have a Clostridia. They have different bacteria in their gut. E. coli is so much higher in these children. Why? Because they can't detoxify the stuff that everybody else is exposed to that they can. And parasites, you know, they have them. So this is in talk about periodism. Let's explore this subject further. Is autism as a possible manifestation of a chronic infection? If you will just look under ProMed database, you will see there's something called viral autism or virus autism. We now have what we call acquired autism. When I, 35 years ago, began studying in special education, we only knew autism as they were born with it. When they were infants, they were not cuddly, they had a hard time interacting, no eye contact from the get-go, from the time they were born. Those infants acted differently with their moms and withdrew and they just didn't interact. That's how we learned the description of autism, because that's the way it presented itself. Now, that's not the case very much. We have what's called acquired autism. It means that these kids were regular infants. Yes, they probably had more colic, but they had interaction, they could be cuddled with, but yet around 15 months or age 18 months, are 2 years old, they begin to lose eye contact, withdraw, start stimming, begin to lose speech. Acquired autism. So we're saying what caused them to acquire autism. And we know it has to be something that we're putting in their mouth or in their body via a needle or something. Because we know that the onset of autism usually surrounds the onset of an infection. Many people will get an infection, maybe as adults you've experienced this. You'll have a flu that is a hard flu, and you'll find 2 years later you feel you really haven't come back from it. So it depends on what, if the adrenal gland is putting out the cortisone it needs. If it isn't, you sink. And these kids aren't putting out the cortisone, and the liver isn't detoxifying, so that they just sink with these things that typical kids don't sink with. If an immunization is given at the time of an infection, that overloads their body. So we said one of the things about immunization has to be the timing. We're also going to look at the amounts, the numbers of immunizations we're giving to kids. Now, one of the things they do is, as infants, they immunize them for hepatitis B. Now think about that. That's only passed through bodily fluids. So it's either going to pass on from mother to baby, or through sexually transmitted, or needles. I mean, what are the chances? Do you think maybe that's an immunization we don't need? And that's what they're finding. I mean, we need to just look at these. What kind of a load are we putting on our child? That will occur in the hospital. That's just, okay, part of the birth process. Didn't used to be at all. Now it's just immediately, those little guys come out before you take them home. They have been immunized against something as big as hepatitis B, which is the liver, involves that. And how much hepatitis B do we have in the country? How much do we have it in children? You see, who's coming up with these ideas? We wonder. Something to explore. There are various ideas about it. Nothing is in concrete. But various people are considering that maybe pharmaceutical companies are thinking about that. I don't know if that would be the case. They don't make a lot of money on vaccines, because they make a great deal of money on the vaccines, but because their insurance has to be so high, the malpractice for that, yeah, I think it pretty much washes out. But these are just things that we can question, and the parents of children who are on the spectrum question a great deal, because they hear the stories and these moms are telling them that this onset, this acquired something, an environmental onslaught, either was in utero, as we talked about with antibiotics, steroids in utero, or something came later on. So we're just going to look at the various ones. A viral, fungal, bacterial infection combined with an exposure to environmental toxins or vaccines is the frequent scenario. So why can other kids have the vaccinations? Why can they have the an antibiotic and all those things? Because they didn't have that upset immune system. They didn't have a compromised immune system. And as they say, we're always looking for what are the signs that this child has a compromised immune system. Because if we learn that, then we're way ahead in keeping this epidemic of autism SI and Asperger's just growing. Not only that, SI, ADD, ADHD, asthma, all of those, diabetes, all of those epidemics, if we know who is chronically immune compromised when they're born. So we often they see remarkable improvement when the infectious agent is removed, even in 21 days of using an antiviral. You know, if you have shingles, what do they use? Acyclovir or Valtrex, all of those kinds of things will be antiviral. Many kids, within 21 days, you'll see a difference. What is the treatment that this group of parents uses if their children, they think they have a chronic infection? In other words, they've never been well. Are they just, their virus titers are so high? They use an antiviral agent. You can use a prescription. Valtrex, acyclovir, those types of things from the doctor, or on their own, olive leaf extract is an antiviral, elderberry, olive oregano, and there's something called Virus Stop by Enzymedica. Again, that's available online. That gets the virus out of the system. But this is what they found. Just like another whole group found they can't give B6 without magnesium, because otherwise bed wetting starts, even though you get a nice difference in their nervous system. They found that you can do an antiviral or an antibiotic without doing an antifungal. Because if you did, these kids made a little bit of a gain and headway, and then things started deteriorating. When they kept the antifungal up the whole time, they were able to clear out all the toxins from that virus. And what are the antifungals we use? We use grapefruit seed extract as the antifungal, and Acidophilus with all its various forms. Acidophilus has bifidus in it and rhamnosus and all sorts of other strains. But if we first plant in good bacteria and then we use an antifungal, we keep that up. Caprylic acid is another one for kids who, you know, can't do the grapefruit seed extract. You just have to use more of that. It's just another antifungal. Remember, what did we say? If you had the choice between planting or killing for fungus, what you're always going to do? Plant. Planting is the most important. Plant 3 times a day. Get a good crop in there. Then we're going to start killing. It'd be nice if we could do both. But if we can't, don't just go for the antifungal. The planting seems to be the longest term, so do them both. So that's the treatment that they did, and they saw, again, nice big steps. As they go through, they say, little steps here, this was another one of those big steps. It's getting rid of the virus. Somebody's trying to get a hold of me. So there is, again, childrenscorner.com, recoveryvideos.com, talk about autism, all of those kinds of things. Talk about curingautismnow.org. Those are all just different sites that have parents from all over the country telling what worked. And then he asks if he can come out and videotape them, or they send videotapes, they put on and they catalog what's working and what isn't and document it. It's just a tremendous way. I think he's taking over a lot of what Bernard Grimlin did. And in fact, at the last Asperger's conference they had, they all stood up and we had a real tribute to Bernard Grimlin. Dr. Grimlin just began all of this, and he just recently died. We're so glad other people are coming up and getting all the information from parents, because parents know. So chronic infection is another thing that they find that could be in these children from little on, that causes them to be so immune compromised that everything else bothers them, and then systems shut down, and then they can't use their food, which is why we need to do all these things so that they're not in trouble in terms of nutrients, because a starving brain will yield aberrant behavior and perceptions of the world. Besides pain, headaches. How many of the nonverbal kids have headaches and don't know how to tell you? How many of them are having acid reflux and don't know how to tell you? So it's a physical thing being manifested as a behavior issue. Another thing, and that's, as we had said, we'll talk about this later, and that is the vaccination effect. Many people talk about the fact that there's a large group of parents who are pretty much up in arms and going to the government, going to the legislatures and said, we have got to change this because we are seeing our children were fine until they had their first vaccinations. And they had, first of all, some of them had very obvious changes right away. They'd have their vaccination and they'd be screaming all night. Or they'd just get diarrhea. Or they would get these terrible rashes. Or that after, the, one parent said, after the first vaccination, they were inconsolable. Imagine having a little baby at home. I couldn't be consoled. I mean, what do? The pain that child is in, the pain that parent is in. You're walking, you're padding, you're doing deep knee bends, you're nursing, you're giving a bottle, you're doing everything to console them. Inconsolable. I mean, that's just a nightmare, isn't it? And they're saying it came from the needle, it came from the vaccination, because they see it. Many parents have documented this. They were this way here, they were this way there. Told you about the doctor who said, you broke them up. Boy said, you broke them, now you fix them. They saw within 2 weeks a total change. Is that happening? Absolutely. We have to acknowledge that that's happening. Because that would be whether or not anybody wants to, in the medical field, wants to say it's happening, it's a truism. It's not the only thing that is assaulting these children. That's the important thing to balance it out with. It's not the only thing. Why are we, when all the studies say they've once again proven that vaccinations in no way affect autism, SI, Asperger's, any of that, why would they say that? Because that at any time it came out that that brought any of these symptoms on, there would be some, wouldn't they? I mean, the lawsuits would just bankrupt every pharmaceutical company. The lawsuits towards the doctors who gave the injection. Like, you know, the pediatrician who injected his own child and the child lost all interest in the world. He said, you know, she should have sued me. So you see, of course, we're not going to get any articles ever by the AMA that says, no, the mercury or the vaccinations are causing anything. They can't. So then I always say, why even look there? I mean, why even say we have to do this other than they did go to the legislature and do a wonderful thing and they got mercury, thimerosal, taken out of most of the shots. You know, if how many of you have remembered Alice in Wonderland and the Mad Hatter? Remember what made them mad? They were making hats out of beaver skin and they used mercury as a compound to make it solvent. Mercury, we know, loves brain tissue and makes huge neurological changes. The highest suicide rate we have is among dentists. Who would think? Mild-mannered dentists, because of their exposure to mercury. So they are now very aware and they're starting to really reduce their exposure to mercury. And so we source, the number one source would be vaccinations because it's injected. I mean, nothing gets more into the body than injected. The other would be our amalgams in our teeth, which are, you know, mercury-laden. And so, in fact, my son didn't have any issues until age 16. He got four mercury, four fillings in his teeth. They really weren't even big fillings. He just went in. I took him in for a check. He had four little cavities, but we had an aggressive dentist. And he really drilled big holes and put in a lot of...